Put in Romans the first chapter. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Y'all can if you want to, then I won't preach. Verses 1 through 7 is what I'd like to read, and then we'll talk. Does anybody else want to testify? Forgot, I'm supposed to give you a chance. You guys, bunch of losers. Good. I'm just kidding. That's that joke from this morning. It finally came to me. Y'all just a bunch of... No. Anyway. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the move of the Spirit this morning, for those you have touched physically and spiritually today. Ask, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our hearts again this afternoon and help us, Lord, to rightly divide your word and to understand what we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a tale of two slaves. What I'd like to talk about briefly. If you remember, there was a figure, a man called Spartacus, who, and it's not just a film legend, but a historical figure. Historians say that Spartacus was likely a Roman soldier who deserted, was recaptured, and then sold into slavery as a gladiator. While at the gladiator school at Kappa, Spartacus led a rebellion. This act of defiance attracted a massive number of slaves, growing into an estimated 70,000. Initially, Spartacus' slave army enjoyed spectacular victories, but they were eventually defeated and captured, and the captured rebels were crucified along the road to Rome. What a contrast Spartacus is to the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, as Paul was also known, was born to a free man and yet was destined to become a slave. Acts chapter 9, we can read, if we want to turn over there, we can see and hear and read about his conversion. The Bible says that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Jesus Christ, and even went to the high priest desiring of him letters. One passage of scripture, I think just in the previous chapter, says that Paul was consenting or was standing there when Stephen was stoned to death for his witness to Christ. Paul was consenting. The Bible even said that he held Timothy's coat, his cloak, while they stoned him to death. And this Paul, Saul at the time, was on his way to Damascus with a letter of authority to take the Christians prisoner, possibly even kill some of them, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, Paul, a free man, became a slave. Hallelujah. Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ. A real encounter with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he, as he was going along, there became a great light shined around about him. And he fell to the earth as he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? I think he already had a pretty good idea who he was talking to. He already knew that he was on the wrong road. And he, all of a sudden, it became very plain and clear to him that he was on a journey that was a mistaken journey, a journey he should never embarked upon. However, it was a God encounter. God had intended for him to take that road. God had intended for him to go about slaughtering the Christians because God knew that he was going to take that man, make him a slave of God so that he might take the gospel to the Gentiles, that's you and I, and that we could have salvation. He asked him, who are you? And Lord, and Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to go against my flow. And they, the men with him were speechless. They didn't know what to think. And Paul was blind. He told him to go to Damascus. And he didn't eat for 3 days. He didn't eat or drink. And there at Damascus was Ananias. And Ananias had been shown in a vision that that man, Paul, the Saul that was coming to persecute the Christians, would be coming to his house, and they would inquire of him. And Ananias knew all the bad things that Paul, Saul at the time, was doing, and it kind of set him, kind of made him afraid, you know. And it would you and I, too, if we thought the man who was going to, could, had the authority to capture us, to imprison us, was coming to our house. But Paul told us, Jesus told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel to bear my name. And I'll show him great things he's going to do in my name. So Spartacus led a rebellion, and he was a man that became into slavery, and he never did serve Jesus Christ. But Paul was a free man that ended up being a slave man, not slave to the flesh, but slave to Jesus Christ. And church, I think it's a great thing to think about that Saul, when he got saved, he decided to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. Not halfway, not just once in a while, but every day, every waking moment of his life, he was breathing Jesus Christ. As much zeal as he had for persecuting the church, he now had double that zeal to bring the gospel to this lost and dying world, and it didn't make him any difference what he had to do. He became a bondservant, and a bondservant is this, a servant who willingly commits himself to serve the master he loves. He did it willingly. Nobody made him become a servant. He still had a free choice to make on that road to Damascus. But when he met this master, when he met Jesus Christ, everything changed. His life's desires changed. His goals changed. Everything changed. And he just simply wanted to serve the one who had gave him life and gave it to him abundantly. He wanted to serve the one that had gave him a drink of the living water. He wanted to serve the one who was the very bread of life. He wanted to serve the one who could bring life out of death. The one who could do anything and in everything and above all that we could ask or think. He wanted to serve him. Shouldn't we want to serve him? We ought to want to serve him. I know in every believer's heart there's a warfare raging. It rages. There's a spiritual war between sin and righteousness. We all have to fight that fight of faith. We have to fight that warfare. There's always something going on. We can obey the slave master of sin, or we can choose to say yes to the God of grace who has made us free from sin. Look at Romans, the 16th chapter, or the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, if you would. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. I want to turn over there if I may. If I can find it, it says something like, pass that book, this: know ye not that whom you yield your self servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But Paul goes on to write to the church at Rome, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And you did, goes on to say, what fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you believe today, Lord, church, aren't you glad today that you don't obey sin unto death, that you have been warned and you have accepted the grace of God, and you are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to Jesus Christ, a free will bond servant to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have decided now, right now, to bow to the King. Paul decided to on the road to Damascus. He realized that he was going the wrong direction, going the wrong way, and he changed his mind. Because of the grace of God, the unmerited favor God shows guilty sinners, Paul had a change of life. Aren't you glad today, looking over this large congregation, these packed pews, to I can see most every one of you, if not all of you, have experienced the unmerited favor of God and experienced the grace of God and been born again, set free from the bondage of sin, and you have gladly accepted the role of a bondservant to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for a group of people that have made up their mind they're going to serve Jesus. They're going to serve Him regardless of circumstance, regardless of what they must face, regardless of hardship, they're going to serve Jesus. Regardless if their family serves Him or not, they're going to serve Him. Regardless if the husband serves, I still serve. Regardless whether the wife serves, I still serve. I made up my mind. There's no other choice for me. There's no other way for me, for Jesus is the way. Jesus is truth, and Jesus is life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Aren't you glad today for that? He made me free. Our greatest liberty lies in serving Jesus Christ. Absolute greatest liberty. Paul says in Romans, the first chapter, he says in verse 5, by whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. For obedience. See, true saving faith always produces obedience and submission to the hardship of Jesus Christ, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The L I wrote there looked like an H, and the O looked like a A. So, anyway, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But, you know, when you think about it, sometimes it does bring some hardship. Paul spoke very boldly about the hardships, but also the joy that came in serving Jesus Christ. He recognized that there was some hardship. He recognized that it wasn't all joy, but he said, count it all joy. He realized there'd be some times that he wasn't quite up to snuff, but he said, it's still all right. I'm still going to serve Jesus. I'll still be obedient to the faith. I won't let Him down. I've been saved by grace, and I'll serve Him by grace. I'll serve Jesus. And he did that. He defined his faith by his obedience. Oh, if the church would get back to that again, that I'll prove my faith by my works. I'll prove my faith by my obedience to the Word of God. I'll prove to you I love Jesus. I'll prove to you I've been born again by the way I serve Him, by the way I obey what His Word says. I'm going to prove to you just by the way I live that I'm a Christian. And so Paul, for Paul, the nature of saving faith must be determined by its initial intention, and namely, joining our life, one's life to God through Jesus Christ in love, devotion, gratitude, and obedience. So I got saved, so I joined up with Jesus Christ. I love Him, so I serve Him. I serve Him. I love Him. I'm devoted to Him. I'm full of gratitude for what He's done for me. And because I love Him and I'm devoted to Him and I'm grateful to Him, I'm going to be obedient to Him. See, I don't give I don't give a plug nickel for a disobedient Christian. You can say all kinds of things, but if I know you're disobedient, I probably won't give you a position in the church. What's the point? You're not going to fulfill your role. You're not going to do it anyway, so what's the point of giving you one? You're just going to be a disappointment to everybody, and I'm going to have to answer questions. Brother Stone, what happened to this one over here? Brother Stone, what happened to that one there? Brother Stone, why aren't they going to church here anymore? Brother Stone, why don't you take them off the stage? I just gave you your reason, my reason, didn't I? They's disobedient, didn't fulfill the role. So I had to remove them. Well, they just gave up and quit. Because it wasn't as much fun as they thought it was going to be. Not as much honor as they thought it would be. There's not always honor in serving Christ, but you serve Him obedient regardless of the position you find yourself in, regardless of whether you get any accolades for it, you just serve Him anyway. Amen. Paul defined his faith by his obedience. And he defined our faith by our obedience, how we obeyed the Word of God. And we need to obey the Word of God. He said this in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. The idea communicated by the word saint is set apart by God and being holy. Saints of God, we're set apart. We're to be holy. We've been made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ, but believers have been set apart from sin in the world and brought near to God and have been consecrated for His service. You're set apart to serve. Sanctification means you're set apart, and that set apart is to serve Jesus Christ. It's not just so you can say, hey, I'm a saint of God. Look at me. I'm a saint. Probably if you're doing that and you're all puffed up, you're probably an ain't. I don't mean ain't Susie. I mean an ain't. Like Ai was a city that Joshua went in to conquer. Well, that's a whole different sermon, isn't it? Well, you know the difference between a saint and an ain't, don't you? Okay, I don't have to spell it, do I? Well, I'll spell that for you, do I? Well, I can spell that if you want me to. T-H-A-T. I got that one down. I keep coming up old folks' jokes. I'm just trying. We've been set apart from sin and consecrated to serve Jesus Christ. Not a one of you are exempt. No one's exempt. Maybe little Ava there might be exempt because she's just 7 years old and hasn't quite reached the age of accountability. But even she can serve. Even she can do something for Jesus. As we get older, we should be doing more. And our character has been renewed. There's an old Henson song called Better Than New. Better than new, Lord, better than new. And Ronnie wrote one that said, I want to be so much like you, Lord, that the world can't tell us apart. The song goes something like this, Lord, if I'd ask you for money, I know you'd shower down more than my share. And I know I've quoted this song a lot of times over the years. And if I ask you to make the midnight sunny, I'd be hiding my eyes from the glare. But Lord, I don't need just another good blessing. Lord, you know my heart. I want to be so much like you that the world can't tell us apart. And that should be the goal of every Christian today. Lord, I want to be so much like you. I want to be so involved in what you would have me to do that the world can't tell me and you apart, that they see you through me, that I bring glory to your name. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, Lord, church. A tale of two slaves, Spartacus, a rebellious historical figure, but Paul, a man who'd been saved by grace, who willingly made himself a bondservant to Jesus Christ so that he might glorify him who had given him new life. That should be the goal of every individual, every Christian, to be so much like Jesus, to be so in love with him that we make ourselves a bondservant, someone who willingly serves, commits himself to serve the master he loves. I love Jesus, don't you? He's done a lot for me over my lifetime. Saved me is the most important thing he's ever done for me. He gave me a beautiful family. I mean, I got the best family in the world, bar none. I know some of you want to argue that with me, but you'll never convince me otherwise. Nor will I convince you otherwise about yours. I shouldn't be able to. I've got a great family, and it's a great blessing, but that's not as great as what God did for me when He saved me. Got a great wife, treats me well most of the time, and I treated her good this week. I emptied the dishwasher and filled it once. Well, she'd been sick, so I did it, you know, a couple of days there. I made the bed a couple of times. And I never can figure that one out. You're just going to turn it back down and get back in it later. And but as great as our relationship is, has been, and is, still nothing compares to the love of Jesus Christ, what he did for me. Nothing. So I love him. Because I love him, I serve him. And I continue to serve him. And I will continue to serve him. All the days of my life, regardless of whether I pastor or not, I'm going to serve Jesus. One of these days I won't pastor. One of these days he'll allow me to retire. But that won't mean I quit serving him. That don't mean I hang my harp on the willow tree and stay home from church and never tithe again and just I keep serving. I'll find a place to serve. I'll find a church to serve in. I'll at least go to church and encourage the young pastor somewhere. I'd love to be a Raymond Cochran. Well, not Raymond, but like Raymond, because Raymond's dead. But I like to be like a Raymond Cochran, going to a church where there's a young man struggling. Come along beside of him and say, "Son, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing all right." I want to be like that one of these days. Somebody to encourage somebody else when my time in the pulpit's over. Somebody to encourage somebody else. Would you stand with me today? I appreciate y'all being here this afternoon, and I told Christina I was going to preach about 20, 21 people.